Well, hello and welcome to our Resurrection Sunday message. Well, I never thought that we'd be celebrating Easter Sunday in this manner. Here I am in my lounge room. I've got my coffee, my Bible, recording our message on my laptop. Maureen and I really do miss seeing you. We can't wait to see you face to face again when we get together as the body of Christ and come together and worship the Lord together. Well, today's Resurrection Sunday, the greatest Sunday, I guess, in the Christian calendar. Out of all of the accounts of the resurrection, I think that my favourite has to be the account found in the Gospel of Mark. All the different Gospel writers give us a different insight, a different window into Jesus' death and into his burial and to the resurrection. But there was something in Mark's Gospel that was pointed out to me years ago. I've never forgotten it. It's always been a source of encouragement to me. And I'd like to share a little bit of that with you today. So reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early in the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which is very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples, including Peter, that he's going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Go and tell the disciples, including Peter. Why did Peter get a special mention? Why not Thomas or James or John or one of the other followers of Jesus? Well, I think Peter probably felt that more than any of the other disciples, that he had let Jesus down the most in his hour of need. Peter was one of Jesus' inner circle. He was outspoken. He was enthusiastic. He was strong-willed. He was impulsive. He was brash. All of those characteristics which draw me to the person of Peter. I think we all like Peter. But for all his strengths, Peter had several failings, several weaknesses in his life. Still, the Lord chose him. And in spite of his failings, the Lord had a plan and a purpose for his life. We can see some of Peter's enthusiasm and bravado the night before Jesus' arrest and crucifixion, having the Last Supper. Peter's there with the disciples and Jesus. And Jesus is warning the disciples about what's going to happen. And Peter, again, full of bravado, says, "Well, even if all fall away, you know, I will not." But then Jesus tells him that before the rooster crows, that you'll deny me three times. And again, Peter can't see this. He can't understand it. He says, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." I wonder what Peter's thinking here as the Lord told him that, you know, you're going to deny me three times. Peter's probably thinking, you know, "Lord, don't you know me by now? Don't you know, Lord, that I'll take a bullet for you? You know, can't you tell that I'm different to the other disciples of yours? Lord, I'm the one who stepped out of the boat. I'm the one who walked on the water." And then the very next day, we come to Jesus' arrest and trial by the religious leaders. And what does Peter do? He does exactly what Jesus predicted. He denies him three times. Peter had run away from Jesus just when his friend needed him the most. Peter, full of this bravado and enthusiasm, is suddenly confronted by his own failings and his own weaknesses. Can you begin to imagine how Peter must have felt when Jesus is being crucified, when Jesus is buried, on that Easter Saturday, when Jesus is in the tomb? Could he even sleep? But then on Easter Sunday, Peter gets a special message from heaven. He gets a special encouragement from Jesus. "Now go and tell the disciples, including Peter." Jesus seems to be saying, "Peter, I know what's happened. I know what you've done, but I want you to know, my friend, it's not over yet. I want you to know there's much more ahead of you." And of course, as we come to the book of Acts and the rest of the New Testament, we see there that Peter did in fact continue to faithfully serve the Lord until he was martyred for his faith in Rome under Emperor Nero, probably 37, 38 years later. And just before Peter dies, he writes about the impact of the resurrection on the life of all those who follow Jesus. And again, Peter had 37, 38 years to think about this. He'd experienced firsthand the resurrection of Jesus, and he knew how that changed his life. He'd also seen firsthand the impact of the message of Jesus' resurrection and how that had impacted the lives of multiple thousands of people. And just prior to his death, Peter sits down and he makes a list of all the things that we enjoy because of the resurrection of Jesus. He makes this list for everyone who's in relationship with Jesus. He says, these things are yours. And I'd like to read this list out to you today. We find it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. What a wonderful passage of scripture. Peter praises God who's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This new birth, this fresh start, was something that Peter had personal experience with, first-hand knowledge of. He'd lived in the state of this new birth, as I said, for all of these years. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter. That's really what the resurrection of Jesus is all about for us. When we believe, when we receive new birth into a living hope, we're born again. We're getting something of a foretaste of everything that awaits us in the future. We get a new beginning, a new start, one where, like Peter, we can leave the past behind. We can leave our failures behind us. A new beginning. Just as we're born physically, we're now born again spiritually. Our sins are forgiven. We're new creations. The old has passed away and everything has become new. The most important thing that any human being can do in this life is to experience this new birth that Peter talks about. It's imperative that we do so. Yes, we will have to admit that we're sinners and that we're in desperate need of God. Yes, we will have to acknowledge our belief that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and that he was resurrected from the grave. Then we will have to commit to following Jesus as Lord and Savior for the rest of our days. Peter didn't stop with the idea of the new birth. Based on his 37 years of post-Easter life, he made a list of all of the benefits that come with the new birth. And if you are watching this now and you are not yet a follower of Jesus, can I plead with you? Can I implore you to think about the things that I'm talking about, to think about all that we gain when we become followers of Jesus Christ? If you are a follower of Jesus, can I again encourage you that with everything that is yours today as a result of that first Easter weekend? You know, sometimes as Christians, we run the risk of undervaluing all it is that we've received because of the events of that first Easter, and we should never do that. I remember years ago reading a story of a Catholic bishop in about 1930. He'd erected this 4-meter bronze crucifix at a cemetery in Little Rock, Arkansas. 50 years later, this crucifix was valued at over $10,000. One evening, some thieves came in and they cut the crucifix off at the base and they went and sold it. 408 kilos of this bronze cross they took to a scrap metal merchant and sold for $450. It was worth far more than that. That undervalued the price of the cross. And, you know, sometimes as Christians, we can undervalue all that we have because of the cross. We can undervalue all that we have because of the resurrection. The first benefit that we see that Peter writes about here is this living hope. Hope is the expectation of a better tomorrow. Hope is what gets us through the difficult times that we're currently in at the moment. When we believe in Jesus and the resurrection, God gives us the benefit of this living hope, promising us that the best days are ahead. Jonathan Edwards was a preacher of a bygone era. And when he was 18, I think it was the first sermon that he ever preached. He was preaching on the nature of Christian happiness. And he was writing about the hope that we have. His sermon only had 3 points. His first point was this, that as a Christian, your bad things are going to turn out for good. Romans 8:28, we know that. The bad things that happen in your life, he said, are going to turn out for your good. His second point was this, your good things cannot be taken away from you. All of those good things that you enjoy because of Jesus, our justification, our being cleansed from sin, our adoption as sons and daughters of the Most High God, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life, these things can never be taken from us. And his third point was this, the best things are yet to come. Did you hear that? Your bad things will turn out for good. Your good things no one can take away from you. And the best things are yet to come. That sounds like a living hope to me. So we have hope. Peter says that the second benefit here is an inheritance. When we believe in Jesus, we become sons and daughters of God. We become the eternal heirs of God's wealth, of all of God's kingdom. Now, maybe you have a pretty nice superannuation package that you've been working on for years and years. Maybe your parents have a massive estate, and at some stage in the distant future, you have a big earthly inheritance coming to you one day. But can I tell you that all of those things will just fade into complete and total insignificance when we receive all it is that God has guaranteed us. God himself guarantees our eternal inheritance and promises that it can never perish, it can never spoil, it can never fade. So we have this living hope. We have this promise of inheritance. The third benefit is heaven. Peter says that this inheritance is kept in heaven. We will all live in a place of utter perfection. It's a place that many people in the world, in this world, try and strive to obtain, try and strive to achieve, but it's only really available through the person of Jesus Christ. It's a place where God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. It's a place where there'll be no more death, no more mourning, no crying or pain. And for the old order of things will completely pass away. That's what the scriptures tell us. Oh, we've got this living hope. We've got this great inheritance. We've got this promise of heaven. We've got this benefit of joy. Peter says, in this greatly rejoice. Peter writes about the joy that we have. Now, joy is not the same as happiness. Happiness is a surface thing. Happiness is dependent on circumstances. Joy is not dependent on circumstances. Joy is something that is deep down that we have. Even in the midst of horrific circumstances, we can have incredible joy. Joy comes from the belief that God is in charge and that he will make everything turn out right. Peter's saying here that there's a deep joy that comes to us because of this new birth. It's a joy, he says, that we can have, even though for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. So we have this joy. Peter says that we also have, the next benefit is that of faith. And you know, faith is such a precious commodity. Well, maybe I should rephrase that. Faith in what's true and right is a precious commodity. You know, you can have faith in the fact that God doesn't exist, but you can't draw much encouragement or hope or for the world or for your own future if that's what your faith is. But having faith in a good God, faith in a good Father who's created everything, who's involved in every aspect of our lives, past, present, and future, is an incredible source of strength and hope. And this is the faith that we have through the new birth. Finally, Peter writes about the benefit of salvation. He concludes his list by saying that we're heading for the salvation of our souls. That's the big goal. God sent his son to save us. And we're saved from ourselves. We're saved from the destructive power of sin. We're saved from the evil one. The benefits are great, but salvation from sin is forever the great goal. A new birth, a living hope, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. The reality of heaven, a joy that's not based on circumstances. Faith that's more valuable than gold. The salvation of our souls. Wow, what a list. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter. Maybe you're watching this short little video today and you feel a little bit like Peter. Maybe you felt that you started out well, you meant to do well, but somehow you've ended up in the wrong place somehow. Well, on this Resurrection Sunday morning, this passage from the Gospel of Mark boldly proclaims the hope that emanates from the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The story from the Gospel of Mark about the resurrection sends a special message not just to Peter, but to us as well. I believe that on this Resurrection Sunday, heaven calls out your name, even as Peter was singled out so that he could be restored and encouraged. In the midst of his failures and inadequacies, God calls out our name today. And I can hear God calling out the name of people in our church. He's calling out Mitch. He's calling out Linda. He's calling out Jake and Letitia. He's calling out Brad. Whatever your name is, he's calling it out and he is going before you. I believe that this little verse, tell the disciples, including Peter, proclaims hope over our past failures and disappointments. I believe that it speaks hope into our present situation and challenges. And I'm convinced that this verse prophesies hope into our future dreams and aspirations and the plans that we have because of the resurrection that we celebrate today. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name and we thank you for all that we have because of that resurrection, that first Easter Sunday. Lord, all of the things that we prayed about, that new birth, this living hope, Lord, the inheritance that we have, the joy that we have, the salvation and faith that we have, Father, we don't take them for granted today. And we thank you, Lord God, for all that Jesus has accomplished for us. And I pray for everyone, Lord, watching this video or listening to it. Lord God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be powerfully at work in their lives today. Well, let me send you out with a blessing as I do from church. If you just want to put your hands out in front of you, close your eyes and just receive this blessing. Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the afflicted, honour everyone. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. God bless you and thank you for watching.